This BOE session to order here. What do we got? Who's going to start? Donna? Cindy?
Approval of minutes.
December 3rd minutes.
All right, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I see we had double action from the commission and the BOE, which I thought had taken place on the Obi Jones deal. We took care of that in BOE, and then I think we took care of it again in the commission.
We just made sure it was done, I think.
Yeah.
So it's done.
It's done.
It's done.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. All right. So minutes are done.
It's up to you on what you want to take. We've heard from several citizens that are here today, and we've heard from Bob Paulson that there are some attorneys here today that want to come before you. I guess you'll have to decide whether or not you want to hear their cases. We have Melanie Whitaker, and I'm sorry to grab her, Mr. Whitaker, and they have an issue that they never received an increase notice until they got their tax bill, and they wanted to come before you because they believe their assessment is too high. So you have to determine whether or not you want to hear them or direct them to go on to the State Tax Commission.
On the ones that didn't get their notice until they got their tax bill, did they receive prior notice of an increase?
From my understanding from them, it did not come to them. James did send it out, but it went to their old house, not to the new house that they've been assessed on.
That's what I'm assuming.
Well, I suppose if they didn't get notice, and their first notice was the tax bill, you can decide what you want to do.
Okay, the question. And if it went to the old residence, why, when it returned, was it not, I mean, the Whitakers have,
well,
everybody knows where the Whitakers are at over there, so.
And the Whitakers have informed me that they went and talked to the person who owns their old house, and they indicated that they had never received an increase notice, and that it is customary for those people to forward any mail that they receive for the Whitakers to them. And it was never forwarded.
Bob, what is the procedure then? Since the summer BOE is over for them to appeal, would they just be automatically sent to the State Tax Commission? Do we hear the case?
Actually, you should decide whether you want to hear the case or not. And it would be, if they did not receive notice until their tax bill, it would be proper to hear it later than the summer BOE because they didn't receive notice.
Okay.
But you have to determine whether you believe they received notice or not.
Well, and you're saying it went to the old address?
It was mailed at the old address.
Okay, well then I think we
need. I'm in favor of
make a motion to hear their case.
Okay, motion to hear the case?
I'm fine with it.
All right, second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Hey. I'm Kelvin Whitaker.
Otherwise known as Mr. Whitaker.
Mr. Whitaker is also known as Kelvin.
You'll have to forgive me, right?
Of course, why we're here is because we think it's too high.
Okay.
And the reason that we came up with that, because it's got the same amount of footage as our old house. And then, of course, we know there was an increase. Mm-hmm. But then we also have had it assessed just as we was going to act like it was going to sell it, so I knew where I was at, because, you know, I really didn't, for the first time I've ever complained or didn't know how to go at it, and that's what James told me to do. So I did that, and it is less, it's $50,000 less than what it was. And, of course, I know you've probably heard this before, but, you know, I got a cedar sawmill, so I built a cedar house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do it probably a lot cheaper than what anyone else could, because I've got the material, so I'm not out anything. So we're under $200,000 on that house, finished and done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got it, I think Yen's got it at 508.
Right.
Okay.
You appraised it at $508,000.
Yes, and I asked the Whitakers to go get a certified appraisal on the house. Even if you guys didn't hear it this year, it would serve for them next year. And I think they have a copy in hand. I have never seen it. It was completed yesterday.
Okay.
I'd love to see it.
Okay.
What does the appraisal say for value?
That's what we're going to look at.
Do you?
$440.
Which is a good thing, I guess, if he's wanting to sell it. But.
What we do in these cases like this is we ask for proof from a certified appraiser, and you furnished that proof. Usually, at that point, James, are you?
It's $389 for under the cost approach and $440 by the sales comparison. So that's the two numbers that they gave.
And the standard you use is what it would bring on the
open market.
That would be more.
And I feel for the Whitakers too for building their house. I built my house. A lot of people have built their house, and it always comes in more because the labor is not something can under the statutes be subtracted. Or I got the gravel out of our own creek for our field. Well, we can't subtract that. It has to be valued at what market value is. I'd like to see the appraisal just for a quick second when you get
sure.
in, Jim.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a recommendation on it because I believe it's been proven that we're not perfect in the session.
It's been proven that?
By the state.
I thought it was by...
Okay, or my understanding on that appraisal there would be even, you know, staying went through the inside and everything else, and you didn't know how the appraisal works.
Right, we didn't.
Tampa County, you just don't know what's on the inside even,
right.
So... For it to be so high, not even know what's on the inside, and someone goes through the inside and gets it less. So.
Yeah.
So when was your house completed?
Actually, there's lots of footage. It's not complete still yet. The whole basement's not complete, and then the upper part's not complete, and there's a garage on the side, and it's not complete.
But is it framed?
When did it? In June of
08.
June of 08. Okay.
But you've got it framed in, and what you're talking about, the garage on the side that's not complete, are those things framed to where they would be of measurement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, everything looks like it's done on the outside. When you walk
I have one question on this, too, is I couldn't show Stan an easement in. Do you have a documented easement into your house?
Road easement?
Right.
Oh, to the house?
Yes. As documented in the deeds. Does he address that in here? He come and I tried to show him on a map how to get to your house, the new house, and we couldn't find a documented easement, and I hope you folks have one.
Yeah, there should be one.
That can't happen because it happened.
Maybe under Johnson's. We bought that land off of
Delbert
Patsy Johnson. Probably Patsy Johnson.
Why is that important, James?
Huh?
What's the issue there? Why is that important?
If you got a $500,000 house with no easement to it, it ain't worth much.
Well, actually, there's always going to be an easement to it. If
right.
they bought the property, they may have to litigate, but the senior piece is going to have to give the.
I just wanted to see it
to
for
who
your.
They sold it to.
You guys.
Our land goes all the way to the Taney County Road.
Right, but I notice your road actually swings over on when you look down on an aerial. That's my concern, and I would ask...
On the Wilkie?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had purchased that land after we've seen that, too.
Okay, good. You've taken care of it.
Yeah.
That was a concern of mine. Whenever
yeah, go right down
to is 440 the number then, James?
Make a recommendation to go with the certified appraisal of Stan Clark at 440.
Second.
Well, that's your
motion.
That's your motion. I'll second that.
I thought you were saying that.
No, sorry.
I'll second or make the motion then.
Any more discussion? And that's for 09 and 010 both.
Right.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. Your appraised value went down from 508 to 440.
Okay.
Okay.
This is your copy or is this?
Yeah, they just got it this morning.
Next individual here is Terry Golden. She's here to represent Mr. Gore. From my understanding, Mr. Gore bought the property in August of 2009 and therefore did not have an opportunity to come before summer BOE. and arguing that the classification is incorrect, and would you like to consider to hear that case?
Same rules apply. I mean, if they didn't have an opportunity to...
Well, yeah, but wait just
a little different.
It's a little different. Let me...
Okay.
First, you want
to... Go ahead, Bob.
I've litigated other cases like this. Basically, there was notice to the property owner, who was the property owner on January 1st of 2009, and the notice to the person who was the property owner at the time of BOE, and they did not appeal. I believe it was in August sometime that the current owner purchased the property after the BOE had run and after the owner had had an opportunity to appeal the taxes to the BOE. And then this person bought the property, at least imputedly knowing the amount of the taxes, and the tax amounts, whether wrong or right, were set forth on the settlement statement and prorated and divided between the parties. And now you have the buyer coming in wanting to change the amount of the taxes that were prorated at the time of the purchase, and that the owner on January 1st and during the BOE did not appeal. They're saying that they couldn't have appealed because they didn't own it at the time, and that's correct, but the property could have been, tax could have been appealed by the owner at the time.
Did the classification change?
The classification, she's claiming, is incorrect.
Did it change from the previous owner to the current owner?
No, I don't believe so. The covenants and restrictions, according to Ms. Walden, and I have spoken with her, it would be a violation of those covenants to rent the place for less than a year at a time. So probably wasn't used as, unless somebody was violating the rules, as a nightly rental or a transient rental. And I think her argument is, if you don't hear the other one, she wants you to hear that, but you should, on value, you should at least hear the classification issue.
Is a classification issue something that we would have taken care of without her appearance?
No, we would have done this in 2010, and we will do this in 2010.
So we're going to fix it in 2010?
For residential. I'm reading from the restrictions, and I don't see in that reading, of course, my interpretations sometimes don't go along with attorneys. Each unit shall be used as a single-family residence or as a second home or as a rental unit. Then you skip on down here. These are highlighted by Mrs. Walden. No unit may be leased for less than 1 year. And all rental or lease agreements on such units must be first approved by the Board of Managers. I don't see where that restricts a nightly rental.
Well, nightly rental is a lease.
If I lease it for a year, I can nightly rental it to you as long as I want to. That's what happens at Thousand Hills and others.
I guess the question is, you're going to fix the classification in 2010.
Right.
So would it be misclassified in 2009 then?
It is. It appears to be misclassified at the present time. I would read that, since I am an attorney and we think differently, I would read that to say that you can't lease it, whether it be to somebody coming in from out of town or to somebody else. You cannot lease it for less than a year.
That's correct. All nightly rental properties and condo associations are leased to those associations 1 year at a time, and then they nightly rental them out. I know how this works because that was affected on the first letter that I composed. I said, do you lease your contract for a period of time?
But I guess this is what I'm asking. If you're going to change the classification in 2010...
You must believe that it's not being used as nightly rental.
Correct.
That's correct.
So would the classification be a different issue versus the assessed value? The value is the value.
I'd let Carrie address that, why she thinks that's a different issue, if she wants to.
Now, the board wants to remember, the previous owner received all the letters for the last 2 years, paid this value last year, I understand, with no quarrels, unless he didn't pay his taxes. So this procedure has been followed as every other nightly rental person in Taney County. But this gentleman just happened to buy in August of 09.
Let me ask what the procedure is. Bob, let me ask you, do you, after something's been prorated and a person's paid half of the taxes, then wouldn't it be up on sale in August? Wouldn't it be...
I don't know how relevant it is to our issue, but it would seem to be a windfall to the purchaser if the buyer bought it knowing those were the taxes and the seller paid that half of the taxes. This buyer would be getting back more than their prorated share of the taxes. And further, that might have, not that it's relevant to this, but that might have entered into the negotiations regarding the price of the property, for all we know. But
Bob, are we opening the can of worms if we hear her case?
We could be. Yeah. I mean, who's to say somebody else with a classification issue doesn't want to come in now?
Basic. All notices were given.
And I didn't want to speak for Carrie. I think I have, but I'd ask you to ask her if she has anything to add that I haven't.
Well, I mean, I guess before we bring her up
as to why we should hear it.
Well, as to why we should hear it?
Yeah. As to why this should be heard. Not hear it until...
Well, it's gonna blend together, though.
I know.
And so, do we want to open the can of worms or not? What do you think?
I'll make a motion to hear it.
Second. We're just going to hear it. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh. Aye.
Aye.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate your time, and I will try to not take too much of it. I think you have all the documents. I emailed them to Cindy. Mm-hmm. Proration calculation for good extras.
Can I help? Yep, that. Okay.
And I just have some additional information here.
Okay.
Some of it may be redundant. I apologize if it is.
Thank you.
The top page that you see there is an affidavit from Mr. Gore. It just explains his position. The reason I believe we have the right to be here today is under statute section 138.100.1, subsection, 100.2, where it discusses that a BOE can hear cases for erroneous assessments and allegations of other double assessments, clerical errors, and other proof for each month for a period until the end of the year. So I believe we do have a right to be here. Mr. Gore, as Bob correctly stated, Mr. Gore purchased the condominium unit at Cozy Cove Condominiums in August of 2009. He currently lives in Alaska. He works on the North Slope. He doesn't get his mail frequently. And so when he purchased in August of 2008, he didn't receive notice of any further taxes or change in taxes until he received his tax bill, because obviously the taxes and the BOE process was complete for 2009.
Excuse me.
Yes.
In August of 2009.
August 2009. Did I say 2008? Yeah. Excuse me. He closed on August 13th, 2009. Thank you for the correction, Cindy. And what you have there is his warranty deed, his settlement statement, and then the... restrictions on use shown in Exhibit C for Cozy Cove Condominium. I want to address two things here. The first is classification, and I think I've spoken to James. I tried to work this out before BOE. I can certainly appreciate your concerns. I spoke to James, and he recommended that I talk to Bob and try to work it out with you all. So the classification issue, I believe, is pretty clear cut. Mr. Gore does not rent his unit. He has never rented his unit. The Cozy Cove Condominium Declaration prohibits nightly rental in any form. Leases for less than 1 year are strictly prohibited, and that being a lease or a sublease, because any lease at all, if it's not used by the owner, has to be approved by the association. So anybody that is not an owner there, that occupies there, has to lease for at least a period of 1 year concurrently.
They could violate the covenants and restrictions, though, correct?
You can.
Right, but what I'm saying is that for Mr. Gore's particular circumstance, That unit was not rented, has not been rented, is not currently rented.
Do you have an affidavit from the prior owner saying that they did not violate the covenants and restrictions and rented on a nightly basis during the first half of the year?
No, they're not my client. I don't have any relationship with them. He purchased in August of 2009. So I think that that's purely speculation to assume that somebody may have violated the covenants when, in fact, I've obviously reviewed a lot of condominium declarations, and this one is one of the strictest in terms of its lease restrictions and requiring that leases actually be provided to the association. So they're very strict, and they I think they take a lot of pride in that and in being one of the ways that they can market and resell their units. So I would
I don't know if we're not questioning really the classification because the assessor's really going to make that change in 2010.
So I would first and foremost, I would request that the classification change be changed from commercial to residential for 2009 as well as 2010. The issue of valuation, currently that unit is valued at about $111,000. It is split between commercial and residential. It's split between commercial and residential. 2320 assessed value is residential. 31885 is commercial, and just in our previous issues, I think we know that the 2320 relates to the portion of common areas. The 31885 relates to the value of the improvements. One of the reasons why I believe you have the right to hear the valuation question today is because imputed notice at the time of settlement may be true, but it doesn't, even if he had imputed notice in August, that was still beyond BOE. And a person under Missouri law, a person who owns property has the right to, they have an obligation to pay taxes and they have the right to appeal their taxes. So I believe that you cannot strip the rights of a property owner simply because of the time when they purchased the unit. The issue of valuation arises when you look at a settlement statement. Realtors and title companies, and I've spoken to them about this issue. Mr. Rick Billington was the realtor on this, and Continental Title was the title company on this. And I requested information as to how they determined the taxation, because if you go with the imputed notice argument, you would assume that the taxes would be correct, that the prorated amount would have been the correct amount for 2009, or at least very close. What I passed out there was just a simple page showing the calculation of the valuation from the settlement statement. The reason I passed that out is because I know the settlement statement is very difficult to read.
You would agree, though, that the value is not an erroneous assessment within the definitions given by the courts in Missouri? There's a multitude of case law on the subject.
There is a multitude of case law on erroneous assessments before the county commissions, but not in terms of the Board of Equalization. I think that's a separate issue. So
I think I've heard, though, from the State Tax Commission, assessed valuation should be handled during the summer BOE.
And it is not an erroneous assessment.
And it's not an erroneous assessment, clerical error, or whatever. It was determined on January 1st of 2009 what that value was. Your classification could be considered an erroneous error, but I don't see how you can consider the assessed valuation.
Okay.
I would suggest that even if the erroneous assessment argument in terms of the valuation, even if you don't think it falls into the definition of erroneous assessment, I believe that a property owner, even it doesn't matter when they purchase, they should still have a right to have the correct value assigned to their unit. And that's the argument that I'm here making this morning. Mr. Gore purchased the unit for $92,000 in August. The taxes prorated at that time were $99.26 per month, meaning that the prorated taxes in 2009 for 12 months would have been $1,191.12, and this is shown on that page that I handed out last. The current tax bill for 2009 shows taxes due of $1,576.38, and I apologize, I was off just a bit. But
the assessed value didn't change, though, but the tax did. What was the reason?
No, the assessed value did change from 2008 to 2009.
Okay, so they used the 2008 values to do
no. No, they didn't. They used a separate value that's not. I have the 2008 bill and I have the 2009 bill, and the prorated amount doesn't match either one. And that's what I'm saying is the problem, is that a property owner, if he's going to pay taxes, should at least be paying the correct taxes. So what I'm saying is, I think one of the arguments you were making earlier, Danny, was that if he were to get a change in the valuation, he'd be receiving a windfall, when in fact, he's not. He's going to be paying a disproportionate amount of the taxes, because based on the prorated amount at settlement, the total taxes for the year should have been $1,191. In fact, if the valuation is not changed, he'll pay $1,576. I mean, if all things remain the same, he would pay $1,576, meaning that he would pay an additional $400 that were not accounted for in the settlement statement. So, in fact, he's being penalized for that incorrect proration. So, the seller should have been paying $132 in 12 months, prorated for 8 months. So the prorated amount should have been $1,056, not $794.
Gary, isn't that an issue between him and
the closing agent.
Closing agent. Isn't that an issue between him and the closing agent?
They had notice of the assessed value, and they could have figured it from his notice of assessed value at the time what the taxes are. And they could have done that, but they didn't.
They have
notice of the assessed value, but the levies weren't released for 09, so they were guessing on the levy for 09.
And that would be a different issue that has absolutely nothing to do with this board.
That's correct. But what I'm saying is that if what you're saying is that the property owner who purchases in 08 has imputed notice of the value in the taxes, that argument only works if the imputed notice is to the correct value and the taxes. And it wasn't. And he purchased in August. He didn't have the right to go to BOE.
There was actual notice to the property owner who owned the property at the time that the notice was due. So not only was there imputed notice to the purchaser as of August, there was actual notice to the owner.
But at the same time, a seller... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
But a seller, if they have a property for sale, if they choose not to appeal, should a subsequent purchaser be penalized for not having the right to appeal simply because their closing date was after the end of BOE? And I don't think that's true.
Except at the time of purchase and at the time that they were reviewed. Yeah. The contract actually did have notice because he knew what the taxes were at the time of purchase.
That's true, except for that unless you're a property owner, you don't have the right to appeal.
Is there anything else you want to talk about for the valuation?
No, I provided you with the settlement statement showing his purchase value of $92,000.
James, what do you want to say?
On the proration of taxes, it's a little astonishing to me in the 08 proration. I don't see no 08 proration.
He purchased in 09.
Proration's irrelevant to this decision anyway. I mean, it's an interesting argument.
Well, why it wasn't broke down in commercial versus residential. This gentleman paid that commercial. The previous owner paid the commercial by...